Hi, my name is Patrick Cohen, and I'm a graduate student intern with the COVID-19 Archive at ASU. The date is May 13th, 2021, and the time is 5:19 p.m. And I'm speaking with my grandma, Margaret Geddes. I want to ask you a question about your pandemic experience, but before I do, I'd like to ask for your consent to record this response for the COVID-19 Archive. The COVID-19 Archive is a digital archive at ASU that is collecting pandemic experiences. Do I have your consent to record your response and add to the archive with your name?
Yes.
Thank you. So thank you for taking the time out of your day to speak with me today in the first place. And just to begin, I want to ask you some background questions. So number one, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you.
All right. And how old are you?
How old am I?
Yep.
I'm 86.
Can you tell me a little bit about your family? Or just...
My family?
Mm-hmm.
My children or my own family I come from?
How about the family you come from first and then your children?
Okay. I came from a family of English people. My father was from Liverpool, England, and he was a First World War veteran. And my mother was from a farming community in Alberta. And we were raised in the country. We didn't live in the city. When I was very young, we lived in the city for a short while. But when I was growing up, we lived in the country. We went to a country school. Went to church that was in the country, and we walked all the time. Mm-hmm. We walked everywhere. The summer that I remember distinctly.
I cut you off. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. I remember the summers being hot and probably running barefoot a lot and just being around the house and walking to the store. And maybe some of the older people in the district would have grandchildren come to stay for the summer, so you had new friends. I remember the cold winters. Remember not being able to go to church when it was really, really cold. I remember we only went to town probably once or twice a month. My mother used to go once a week to get a few supplies. We didn't have a refrigerator, so she'd have to go probably once a week to get fresh meat or whatever she was getting. Mm-hmm. As I got a little bit older, I had a paper route. I had 21 papers. I had to walk, I would say, a good 6 miles round trip, if not more. In the winter and summer, hot weather, really cold weather, never bothered me a bit. Just take my time. Just everybody knew everybody else. They weren't terribly close, but everybody knew their neighbors, and they kind of knew what they were doing and what they should be doing, what they shouldn't be doing. There's a lot of gossip.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
When was this?
That would be in the 1940s.
Okay. And so do you have any children?
I had three sisters.
No, I mean, like, did you have any children?
Oh, when
Sorry.
I got married, I had
yeah.
children. I had 8 children. Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about them? Because
my children, they were all born very close together. They're all really good children. They had to behave. We didn't spoil them. We didn't have a lot of money. They were just good people. And... they did a lot of things on their own. They hung out with their friends. Didn't have a lot of special things. Didn't have a lot of money, so didn't do much.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've asked you this, but what's your birthday? Sorry.
September 1934.
Okay. Thank you. So now we're just going to move on to, I guess, the current time. So mm-hmm. What does your typical day look like to you before COVID? Like, do you remember what you did?
Before
on a daily
COVID?
Basis, yeah.
Well, I worked for a while, and then I looked after my little grandson for a while, and then I moved back into the city, and I moved in with my son, and I kind of looked after the house and made meals. And after my husband died, I had sold the home place. I didn't want to stay there anymore when he was gone. I'm kind of involved in church, but that's about it. I'm not a big people person, so
So, like, what'd you do though? Like, you do knit or
Oh, I do
just like daily
some
things?
just little projects. I do a lot of reading. I like to read.
You don't get on that a lot, or just mostly stay in the house?
Mostly stay in the house, yeah.
Okay.
I don't drive, so when I was able to walk, I'd go to the shopping center quite often. It's always walking wherever. Now, as I'm older, I don't walk very well, so I don't go anywhere unless my daughter takes me.
And then now with COVID, has any of that changed?
With COVID, I pretty much stayed at the house. Didn't really mix with anybody. We didn't have a lot of people come in. Any special occasions, we would postpone them because we didn't want to take a chance because we didn't understand what this COVID thing was and a little bit fearful of it.
And can you tell me about the first time you heard about COVID then?
The first time I heard about COVID was probably in March of 2020. We'd heard rumors of a disease in China, but didn't pay a lot of attention to it because China's a long way away and didn't think about people traveling, just kind of ignored it. And pretty soon, via the news, you heard that it was here and got thinking, what is it? You know, is it going to stay a long time? Is it going to go quickly? And because nobody knew a lot about it, you began to get fearful.
And what has changed the most for you, you'd say, after the pandemic began?
After the pandemic, just the fact that you had to be so careful when you went anywhere, if you went for groceries and you were not able to go to church, not able to go to the shopping centers, just if you had to go for groceries. When it first started, we went as far as having the groceries delivered or picked up by somebody else. And then bit by bit, we started to go maybe once or twice a month to the grocery store wearing a mask all the time. Yeah, so.
Okay. So you did mention church. So I'd like to ask questions about religion, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So firstly, what is your faith?
I'm Roman Catholic.
Okay. With the onset of the pandemic, how did attending mass change for you?
It changed because they had very strict rules of going to church. You had to make an appointment. At first, it was closed down completely, and then bit by bit, they would allow a few people in, but you had to make reservations. And because the bishop said you could stay home and watch the mass on the television or the YouTube, and that would be fine. That was a dispensation. You didn't. It wasn't a sin to miss mass. So I chose that and haven't been to church since. That's a year since I've been to church.
Do you have any difficulties accessing Mass online, like on
Not a
YouTube or on
bit,
TV?
not a bit, no.
You don't struggle with
I
that? Okay.
quite, I actually, I found I've learned a lot more about my religion than I ever did before, so.
Okay, thank you. Can you tell me how the restrictions against in-person masses firstly made you feel then? Because you said it wasn't a sin, but did you have any?
No, I didn't. The bishop said it was okay, so that if he says it's okay, it's fine with me. I listened to what he said.
Okay. Can you elaborate a little bit more on what you mean by you feel like you learn more?
Oh, because I guess you'd call me a cradle Catholic, but my religious learning was very, very, very limited. My mother was an Anglican, and she's the one that took us to church. And after a while, she was disillusioned with it, so she quit going. But still, there was something about it that I liked. Then I drew away from it for a long time. And as I got older, I realized that that's what I needed, and I missed it, and I went back. And from daily mass, watching it on YouTube, I've learned a lot about the Bible, a lot about the history of the church, a lot about the different people that were in the church, and a lot about Jesus himself. So yeah, I'm quite pleased with what I've learned.
That's good. So you'd say like your strength has been, I mean, your faith has been strengthened probably,
I
or
would say so, yes, very much, yeah.
okay.
And because I'm older, then you realize you're at the end of your life and there's a reckoning, so you have to get ready for that. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. One more thing. I don't think I asked you this outright, but I think you mentioned it. Do you remember the last time you were at public mass? or in person?
Yeah, it would be a year ago, probably more than a year ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was right before the pandemic, or was that during it?
Just when the pandemic started, when it was here, and we knew it was here mm-hmm. in Calgary, and they began talking about statistics and things like that, mm-hmm. then I realized, no, you can't go anymore.
Okay. Another thing. So currently there are numerous in-person masses being hosted around the province, many of which are over capacity and in violation of health and safety codes. What do you think of these gatherings?
I think that's wrong. If they tell you that it's not a good idea for people to gather together, you should take that wisdom, because they've already proved that when you are in close, space with other people, then the virus is stronger and more viral, and it transfers easier. Mm-hmm. So I think it's wrong for people to dismiss it and think that it doesn't count.
Yeah. I did miss a really important question. I just want to bring it up before we mm-hmm. go back to the religion. Mm-hmm. Where do you live, and what is it like to live there? Sorry, this is just really quick.
I live at my son's house, mm-hmm. my eldest son, and it's fine. He gives me kind of my own freedom. I do whatever I like, when I like, and he is retired now, so of course he's there more often, and I'm responsible for more meals than I was previously, but it's fine. It works out okay.
Okay. And where is this, like, geographically?
It's in Calgary, Queensland, in Calgary.
All right. Now, going back to the religion, when do you think it'll be safe to have in-person masses again, in your opinion?
I honestly don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for the bishop, and the bishop follows the health rules. I'm hoping to go before Easter, probably as a private appointment, if mm-hmm. possible. Have to wait and see. I'll just play it by ear until then, see what happens.
How do you set up those appointments? Is it online?
You phone the church and ask if it's possible for you to come and go to confession, and they make an appointment, and you come, and you sit quite far apart mm. from the priest. And as far as Holy Communion goes, you do have to go to Mass for Holy Communion, but that's something I'll have to deal with when the time comes to.
Okay. So I'd like to move on to the next part, if that's all right. Mm-hmm. And this
Go
is, so last month I interviewed you during the Silver Lining interview, mm-hmm. and you mentioned that you lived through a polio outbreak in Calgary. So can you tell me a little bit about that?
But what I remember of it, and this was during the 1940s, and there was a big outbreak in the 1950s, but the one that stays in my mind was the 1940s, because I was very young. And I remember the hot, hot summer days, and my mother would say, you can't go downtown, you can't go to a theater, you can't go on the streetcar, you can't go in the swimming pools. We didn't swim anyway, but we had to stay away from everybody. And we didn't quite understand why, but then we used to get the newspaper, and the newspaper would be talking about the people that had contracted polio and how many of the children were crippled and how many of them were in iron lungs. And that was enough to give you the fear. So you didn't really want to be near anybody anyway. Mm-hmm. And by the fall, once the days started to get cool, the virus seemed to die out, and then you forgot about it.
So it was like a seasonal thing?
Yeah. And then in the 1950s, it came back with a vengeance in our family. I remember when one of my daughters was born, my sister-in-law looked after the other children. And when she left our house, after I got home with the new baby, she left and took her children out to Chestermere Lake. And while they were out there, her daughter contracted polio. And I think she would let her children swim in Chestermere Lake. And at that time, it was contaminated, because people used to dump raw sewage into the lake. And polio is caused by the virus from fecal matter, mm-hmm. and she must have got it in her mouth, because you can either breathe it in through your nose or you swallow it. And her throat was paralyzed, mm-hmm. and she didn't have to be in an iron lung that I remember, but she was very, very, very sick, and they weren't sure that she was going to live. A lot of the children who got the virus, and the virus got into the bloodstream and into their spinal cord and everything, they couldn't breathe. So they had to go in iron lungs, and the lung would breathe for them. Mm-hmm. What I remember is the crippling effects of the polio. The people that I did know that had polio were crippled forever. Their legs never, ever worked again. Some of their hands never worked.
How many people did you know catch the virus?
Yeah, my niece.
Your niece?
Yes. Yeah, oh, she had polio. And her mouth was always crooked after that because she had polio in her throat. And it affected her windpipe and her face.
Okay. So just one person then?
I knew a girl that I worked with in the government office. And this would be about 1952, 1953. And mm-hmm. she contacted polio from somewhere. I never did learn where. And she was completely paralyzed.
Oh.
And she never, ever walked again without the aid of that big walking sticks or walking kind of machine.
Mm-hmm.
And her hands, she couldn't use her hands. She had to do everything with like a pencil in her mouth and things like that. Yeah.
So I'm not really familiar with like polio that well because I mean I've never experienced it.
It's a crippling disease. Yeah.
Were there like any precautions taken to avoid contracting it apart from going to lakes and ponds?
They closed the school grounds. They closed the theaters. As far as I know, the swimming pools were closed. Although I can't remember them saying that swimming pools were closed, but. I would imagine that that's what they would have done because everything else was closed down to children. And everybody tried to keep their children at home as much as possible.
Hmm. Were there any maskings or any personal protective equipment that anyone would wear, or was it just completely isolation?
No, just isolation.
Okay. Sure. Was that difficult then?
Not for us because we were living in the country and we were kind of isolated anyway. And it didn't affect me that much at all.
So you mentioned the 40s and the 50s were the big ones. Because I remember...
There was, I guess historically, when I looked it up, it said that 1920s and the 1950s were when they had the huge epidemics.
Mm-hmm.
The 1940s that I recall were not very good either.
No. In particular, 1953 was the worst on record with an estimated 11,000 left paralyzed. Do you remember that one in particular?
I do believe that's correct. And that's when the girl that I worked with contacted polio. And she must have been in the swimming pool or something. I'm not sure where she got it. I never did ask her that.
Okay. Let me see. So the vaccine around this time came out in the mid-1950s. Did you receive that?
I think we did, but I don't recall getting it personally. I don't recall that.
Mm-hmm.
I was working, and I don't recall getting it at all. But I know that it was there for the young. I think they focused mostly on younger children
mm-hmm.
at that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So speaking of vaccines, then, we can move on to your recent experience with the mm-hmm. vaccine. Would you want to talk about that?
Yes, I did receive a first vaccination of the Pfizer vaccine. I was a little apprehensive, and then I actually was glad when it was over. It wasn't difficult at all. Standing in line was difficult, but that's about it. I think it's better to have the vaccine than not to have it. And there's a lot of naysayers, and they're saying, well, you don't know the outcome of this vaccine. You don't know what it's going to be 10 years from now. But I think, well, I probably won't have to worry about that, but I think it's better to give it a try.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about the registration process? Was it difficult at all?
Not for me. My daughter registered for me. You just had to have your Alberta healthcare number ready,
mm-hmm.
and they ask you to bring proof of your birth, proof that you're a Canadian citizen, proof that of where you lived. And that actually you are who you say you are, which is a normal proof that everybody asked for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that wasn't difficult.
Did you have any side effects after your first dose?
No. The arm was a little bit sore the second day, and that was about it.
Okay. And you feel pretty good now that you're vaccinated?
Same, yeah. I don't notice anything different.
Okay. And after you get the final dosage, the second one, are you going to continue masking in public?
I'm still going to wear the mask. Yeah, I still apprehensive. I don't know, because there's so many people that don't wear the mask mm-hmm. and so many people that don't follow the health guidelines. I think the virus is going to just hang around. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to disappear.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that that's so prevalent?
I think because a lot of people don't believe in trying to stay away from it. They don't believe that it's real. They don't believe that wearing a mask or washing your hands or staying out of large gatherings, they think that's a hoax. And so the virus is able to creep in there and take mm-hmm. whoever it wants.
Okay.
And you don't know. It's not like polio. Polio finished when the cold weather came. This virus is not doing that. It goes on summer or winter.
Mm-hmm. So now we can move on to the final part, if mm-hmm. you're okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So after our previous interview, you told me that you'd like to have said more regarding the silver lining one. Would you like to talk about that subject again? Because I can provide you the question from the previous interview, the same one, if you'd like.
Yeah, I think I pretty much covered it this time.
You got it?
Yeah, I think so. From what I can remember, it just, I can remember the hot summer days. I can remember the fear from the polio fear.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember listening to my mother saying, don't go here, don't go there, can't go here, can't go there. And then when you saw pictures of the children that were sick and you saw them in the newspaper, then you realized it was serious.
Mm-hmm.
The same with now. When they tell you the numbers of the people that are sick, you think, oh, that has to be real. It's a real thing, so you have to respect it and you have to act accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're right. So you were just saying that this pandemic's going to go on for a while.
I believe it will. Yeah, I believe that it. I don't believe that it's going to go that far at all. There's going to have to be a lot of habits that are changed, a lot more vaccinations probably to kill it, because it's very viral. It's there. It's very strong,
mm-hmm.
and there's variants of it now that we don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty scary.
For me, it's scary. Yeah, for some people it isn't, but for me it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's the last question I have there. You've answered everything okay. amazingly. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate talking to you, and thank you for your time.
I appreciate talking to you.
Thank you. All right, I'm gonna end the recording.